The explosive new film, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, exposes secrets behind the government's takedown of General Michael Flynn.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
He told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire. They had to get rid of Flynn.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.
Welcome back. As we head into hour two, it's a delight to do so with George Kaloff. He is the managing partner at the Resolute Group and the president of Data Orbital. We check in with him usually on Fridays to discuss politics, politics of the day, politics of the week. He is the best political consultant I know. George, welcome back. How you doing, man?
I'm good. Always good to be on with you, Seth.
Thanks.
In the week.
Thanks a lot. One of the big areas you've focused a lot of your work and attention on over the years is education. Now, we were noting earlier on my monologue, there's this interesting thing going on. So the Parents' Bill of Rights Act, here's what NBC says about it, okay? This is NBC, so, you know, fairly mainstream media organization by any account. The Parents' Bill of Rights Act would require public school districts to publicly post information about curricula for students, including providing parents with a list of books and reading materials available in school libraries. The House passed GOP-sponsored legislation Friday aimed at providing parents with more information about their children's educations, marking the congressional Republicans' foray into culture war battles taking place across the country. We're the ones entering the culture war here, George, because we want more parent involvement and interest and understanding of the curricula for students. We're entering the foray of the culture war here. We're starting it. This is our fault because all we're asking for is accountability in the public schools, you know, where teachers and school boards have to actually meet with and discuss and post the curricula to the parents, you know, the people who are paying for the schools.
And that's the thing that is interesting to me, Seth. I mean, there's a lot of things, obviously, that have to do with the cultural war. To me, this basic notion and understanding that parents should be determining how their children are educated, applies whether it's to curricula, whether it's to where they go to school or how they get educated. Going back in our country for a while relative to homeschooling and different things, parents are the ones that should be in charge. But again, it's seemingly for pockets of our country, particularly on the left, it is a controversial thing to say, and that makes you then enter the culture war, which then has a whole bunch of other connotations, because we believe parents should know what their students are learning, what their kids are learning. Again, it's something that was not even something that was talked about, I suppose. And I mean, it was talked about, but COVID really brought it to everyone's attention because parents started saying what their kids were learning because their kids were learning from home. But it's, again, much broader than the culture war. It's a question in America, which is who determines how education is delivered? Is it the state? Is it the bureaucracy? Is it the parent? Is it the teacher? Or is it the parent?
You know, the funny thing about this, funny thing is the wrong way to cast this. The ironic, one of the many ironies surrounding this whole issue, George, I don't hear a lot of people talking about this part of it, is you've been around the education issues for a long time. What up until 3 years ago, prior to COVID, BC, before COVID era, BCE, before COVID, when there was the Red for Ed movement or any really, you know, movement to help teachers with their salaries or work conditions, what was the first complaint you would always hear from teachers? It was that we're being asked to do too much. We're being asked to do the work of the parents. We're being asked to do the work that should be taking place at home. That was the complaint. You know exactly what I'm talking about. And now, wow, just give it 3 years and the teachers want this job, evidently. They want to be responsible for the sexualization and racialization and ethoses of the children.
Yeah, and look, the even bigger problem, there are way too many examples of superintendents, of teachers, of elected officials on the left, of school board individuals that talk some variation of this. Parents are not educated enough. What do they know? We know better. There was a woman here in Arizona testifying against the curriculum transparency bill. Well, I have a master's degree. This is a question she asked in committee. I have a master's degree. What do parents have?
Yeah.
Well, parents birth these kids and they're responsible for them. Right. That aside, elected officials talking about how some parents are not educated enough
right.
to know and how to make these decisions because they barely graduated from high school. And so now all of a sudden we should strip those parents of the ability to make these decisions. Or something that's even more egregious is that parents' rights, there was a video that came out of a superintendent, I believe, in New Mexico. I'm not sure what district. It said parents' rights ends when students walk into the classroom.
That's right. The parents' rights ends at the schoolhouse door. This is where the state is the parent. That's the mark of every socialist organism I've ever known. The state is the parent. Father Fidel. That's what the Gonzalez family talked about when he was returned to Cuba. My father Fidel. This is exactly what's taking place here, which is why you got the complaint, the famous, well, now somewhat famous speech, if I can say as much, it only was delivered yesterday, from Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez, who decided to say, when we talk about progressive values, I can say what my progressive value is, and that is freedom over fascism. Keep the culture wars out of the classrooms. Well, who put them there, and why is she bringing up the word progressive? Where is that anywhere written as something that should be injected into the discussion as to what should take place at our schools?
Yeah, and frankly, Seth, I think you and I would agree, and frankly, most people on the political and ideological right would agree we don't want cultural wars.
No!
In the classrooms, which is why we don't want this taught in the classroom.
Right.
Culture wars and not a culture wars, discussions that are of that level are reserved in where? Into the home, because it's within the family nucleus.
That's right.
That's where those discussions belong, not in the classroom. So we believe the same things they believe. We're just talking about it very differently in terms of how to take the culture wars out of the classroom.
And it's so odd. And there would be a simple test. Here's a simple test. I issue it with some reluctance because I have a feeling the answer may be different in a year. But here's the simple test. Name me an education assessment you know of, whether it's in Arizona, whether it's in New Mexico, whether it's in California, or whether it's the NAEP, the Nation's Report Card, that tests these things, the outcomes on these things. They don't. They test math and language arts or reading. They test civics. They test science. They test history. They don't test. There are no below basic, proficient, and advanced scores on racial and sexual awareness yet. But that is the tell. That's what the schools are supposed to be for, right?
100%. Look, there are times and a place. When I was in fifth grade, sixth grade, there was sex ed. How everyone has sex ed. But it was sex ed about using deodorant and, you know, that you have to start shaving, you know, if you have a beard
or
your
like
man
home
or
ec,
whatever.
Yeah, okay.
Right?
It
I mean,
sounds more like home
was.
Ec, yeah, okay.
Yeah, but that's what that was, right? I mean, that wasn't, and then look, I'm not that old. I mean, that I'm not talking, this is back in the 80s or 70s, the sex ed. We're talking here, this is in the early 2000s, right? As an example, now look at where sex ed is. And the point is not to talk about, I mean, there's egregious examples of just something horrific that came out of Oregon and things that are being, you know, that are being taught to children or that are being asked of children. That's not the point. The point is not the what, it's the who.
Yeah.
Teachers, even if it's look, there is a role for a teacher to play in basic things or for a school to play in basic things, because a school does have the audience and the attention of a student a big chunk of the day and a big chunk of a week and then in turn a big chunk of their lives.
Sure.
But what parents want, and research backs this up, is that when you're K through six, they want their children taught fundamentals, how to read, write, how to do math, how to prepare for becoming then a young adult. And then when you're a young adult, you're 7 through 12, you want to be taught how to prepare to be an adult, how to prepare for college or trade school, how to prepare to fully function, how to have critical thinking skills. Nowhere in there do parents want to seed the ground to say, I want my teacher to teach my kids about sexuality and about sexual pleasure, as an example.
Right.
That's not the point.
Right.
And so, look, it shouldn't be a debate about, well, do teachers want to show curriculum or not, and is it a nuisance or not? Parents need to be involved in the education of their children. It doesn't matter if they're in private school, private Christian school, micro school. Look, we can't determine, and I think you would agree, the state can't make someone a good parent or bad parent. So some parents may not be involved and may cede that ground, but that does not mean that wholesale parents should be excluded from intentionally participating with their child's education or leading their child's education,
this was not a controversial point. This was not, I mean, Supreme Court history going all the way back to the 1920s is that the child is not the creature of the state. It is the parent's right to direct the destiny of the child. That's a unanimous Supreme Court opinion with progressives and conservatives on it from 1925. This is an entirely new This is an entirely new thing that we are asking our teachers and schools to do. But what's interesting about it is I don't think that sentence is correct. I don't think we are asking them to do it. I think they are taking it on themselves, and I think they have the urgings of people like Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez, and I think they have the urgings of them because they think that the children are the new front lines on the battles, the new infantry for our culture wars.
100%. That's
exactly what they're being used for. We are again, once again, and maybe this is a COVID era thing. Maybe this is a CE thing. We are once again using children to soothe the problems, anxieties, and political battles of adults. It's a terrible thing to put them through, and we wonder why their mental distress is through the roof. George, let me do a quick commercial break. You can stay another segment, right? I want to talk to you
about
Kamala Harris, Ron DeSantis, Joe Biden, Donald Trump. Yeah, we'll do it all with George Califf when we come right back. Welcome back. Welcome back to the Seth Leibson Show. George Califf is our guest from the Resolute Group and Data Orbital. George, I don't know. I'm looking, you know, foreign policy as well, and I'm just looking at Biden's statements from Canada today in regard to the bombing of the bombing from the Iran Revolutionary Guards with a drone that we couldn't take out. He says, we're going to continue to keep up our efforts to counter terrorist threats in the region in partnership with Canada and other members of the coalition to defeat ISIS. All the intelligence was that this was an Iranian attack. And he said, that's what we did last night. Well, it didn't work. We got hit again in Syria. George, we have a real problem with leadership in this country. We have a real problem with leadership in this country that's in Canada right now.
Leadership, right, as we talk about leadership a lot, has many facets. One of them is strength. And one of the most important things so that we don't have to send our sons and daughters abroad to war, something that our country has grappled with, and frankly, we've spent a lot of time grappling with recently in regards to the Iraq War, for example. We avoid that by projecting leadership. When someone is weak, they get taken advantage of. When someone is strong, no one dares cross them. Right now, we're not in a strong position, which means people are trying to cross us. People are trying to test our buttons, push our buttons. They're trying to test us, and we keep failing. We as a nation keep failing. And so when Biden speaks that way and fundamentally misunderstands what's happening, while, by the way, at the same time, China's brokering deals between nations like Iran and Saudi Arabia and is apparently now brokering another deal between a couple of other Middle Eastern countries, that is a major problem for us because they then turn into powers, and now potentially Iranian oil could be bought in yens, not dollars. I mean, there's all kinds of implications. We're asleep at the wheel.
Yeah.
Why aren't we playing those roles? Why are we leaving it up to other nations as another example?
Well, because we do things like this, George. We have, I bet you didn't know we had this position. We have an education activity chief for diversity, equity, and inclusion at the Defense Department. Because we do things like that. We're doing education activities in diversity, equity, and inclusion. You may have seen the hearing on this person who was condemning this now former education activity chief who was sending out tweets blaming white people for their caudacity, which is evidently a term I didn't know it means. It's a mix of Caucasian and audaciousness, I suppose. But we're learning new words on the fly here. But this is the Department of Defense when they're involved in everything but what the Department of Defense should be doing. This is a problem. This is the same problem with the schools. They are involving themselves on things they have no business doing, and thus the other stuff slides. Thus our reading scores and our math scores slide. Thus Iran can push us around in Syria. Thus Afghanistan can push us around in Afghanistan. Thus Russia can push us around in Ukraine. Thus China is soon going to be able to push us around in Taiwan. We're not doing the stuff we were constitutionally, small c, and constitutionally, capital C, designed and mandated to do. So we're not able to do the serious stuff. We're doing the absurd.
100%. I was at a talk yesterday at a conference where someone from the UK who's in the House of Lords was talking about education and different implications in the UK and America. And he made a number of comments, not in an integrating way, but made a number of comments to say, you all are really worried about all of these things, and we are really hoping a lot of these things don't make it to the United Kingdom. And when they have, we've tried to squash them.
Right.
That's how people around the world are viewing us. America is worried about all these things. We're not worried about the things that matter, oftentimes. And so when the Department of Defense is worried about that, then others, what does someone like Vladimir Putin think? And when our schools are worried about this versus teaching the fundamentals, what does then that, what are the parents of children who are like, no, I want my kids to learn the fundamentals. What does that leave for the rest of us who are not willing to participate in these things? And again, we come back to strength. We come back to leadership. And right now we are missing those in large quantities across the board.
Because we don't care about merit and we don't care about competence in part. It's about signaling, virtue signaling, and other ancillary things like this former education activity chief for diversity, equity, and inclusion. You see the same problem. We had a judicial nominee of a federal magistrate being nominated to the federal district court bench this week by the Biden administration, who was wholly incapable of understanding a basic principle taught in law school when Senator John Kennedy asked him how he would analyze what was known as a Brady motion. Everyone who ever went to law school, no matter how long ago it was, I haven't even practiced law in 20 years. I know what a Brady motion is, and you don't have to. You're not a lawyer, but this guy is, and this guy has been a federal magistrate for 5 years, and a Brady motion, just FYI, has to do with the prosecution turning over exculpatory evidence to a defendant. And this guy thought it had something to do with the Second Amendment because he was thinking of the Brady campaign to end gun violence. You know, you try to check a box to fulfill some kind of ancillary measurement to make sure that your people, you know, are, you know, sufficiently racial minorities or sufficiently checking this box or that. And you lose the ability to get people who are competent. That's what's going on here. By the way, this is what's behind the story that's now leaking out about Joe Biden having second thoughts about Kamala Harris. Well, why did he think she'd be good in the first place? The problem is we have a dirty little secret. We know why he thought she would be necessary in the first place, and it had nothing to do with her competence, right?
Yeah, I mean, because again, we are some of us, I shouldn't say we, some of us are busier thinking about how to check boxes and how to make a bunch of people happy because we have to cover all of our bases in terms of things that aren't actually important versus saying like, hey, regardless of your skin color, regardless of your whoever, whatever it is, are you competent for this? Are you ready to go? And as opposed to working at lifting up all these individuals, again, regardless of their background and their racial background, ethnicity, we should be more worried about lifting them up and providing them meaningful work and all of these things that we spend a lot of time talking about as a country and less about, again, the color of the skin and everything else.
Yeah.
And so, you know, fine, you want to talk about diversity and what that looks like. We have gone from how we applied that in the 90s and early 2000s to a whole nother world. I mean, again, imagine if we charted this out on a map or on a graph, the rate in which we are getting into crazy town is like exponentially increasing now. It was like a slow progression, and now it's like just hockey stick. I mean, we're just catapulting into just craziness on all of these fronts.
I don't know how you would measure it in a poll, but somewhere, somehow, some way, we can think about this, unless you already have an answer. I wouldn't expect you to. This notion that I think people here just feel that we're not a serious country anymore. Or if we're not a serious country, it's that we are focused on all the things we should. We're misdirected in our focus. We're misprioritized and deprioritized in the essentials of what we expect from our public officials and public leaders. There seems to be that which fuels this general funk that's going around that I think people just have about their country right now. George, we've got to figure out a way to measure this somehow, right? Because I think a candidate can seize on it. I think a candidate, particularly a conservative candidate, could seize on the issue of we have serious issues and we need to start taking them seriously. And we are a serious country and we need to start taking ourselves seriously once again, I think.
100%.
Yeah.
100%. And then cast a vision of hope.
Yeah.
Exactly. Regarding those serious issues of where America wants to be, where do we want to be versus completely degrading American people and American values and ideals because of things that have happened in the past.
Yeah.
We need to solve those things, but we need to solve it from a vision of hope going into the future.
Yeah. Let's go back to thinking critically rather than frivolously. We've replaced the critical with the frivolous. George Kaloff from the Resolute Group. Thank you, sir. Have a great weekend.
You too as well, Seth.
Thank you. God bless. I'm Seth Leibson. We'll be right back.
3-star general Michael J. Flynn, head of the Pentagon Intelligence Agency, knew all the government's dirty secrets.
He was one of the most respected generals in the military.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to. He understood its funding.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
The explosive new documentary, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, and covers the facts behind this scandal.
Flynn told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire.
I find out the worst enemy that I'm going to face in my life is right here in America. They took my assessment and they wanted me to change it. And I was like, I'm not changing it.
They had to get rid of Flynn.
With in-depth interviews, archival footage, and never-before-seen personal records of the man behind the headlines.
I just felt like I was drowning.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.